Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And now for Pierce, is this the chance? Oh, a marvellous goal, and it's given without any doubt at all. The referee, in fact, looked at the linesman. He kept his flag down, and Pierce, from the sharpest of angle, really whacked it past Eric Hill. Pierce, Chivers and Peters are the men that he will mostly aim for. And Peters, in fact, Chivers. Now surely someone will have a go, and it's there by Jimmy Pierce.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for downloading Owners Again. This is the Spurs show. Thank you so much for being here. A very, very special show. On the show tonight is a gentleman I've been trying to track down and get on the show for a while. I'm delighted to say he's here. I think these stats are right. 193 appearances for Tottenham. He'll correct me if I'm wrong. 35 goals I worked out. It's Jimmy Pierce is here. How are you, Jimmy?
Very well, thank you, Mark. Yeah.
Does that sound about right? 293 games?
Yeah, I thought it was 196.
There you are.
Friendlies and what? That's I'll accept that.
I accept your first answer. Now, what a lot of people might not know from those who are around who saw you, you're a Tottenham boy. You grew up in Tottenham. You started playing for Tottenham boys and Middlesex boys. How did that come about? Who was your early influence? Did you have a member of your family that got you into football? How did it all start?
Well, my dad was. He didn't get me into football because he was a PT instructor in the army.
Oh, okay.
But it really started from the junior school. I think it was a Mr. Ben Jones. Then from, the junior school, Risley Avenue, I went to Rowland Hill. And I had a really good sports teacher there, Mr. Harry Whitley. And Dickie Moss, he was the assistant headmaster. They really helped me a lot and whatever, you know.
And when you went to, like, Tottenham boys and Middlesex boys, what position were you playing? Did you play in other positions when you were younger?
No, I think I was number 10 because it seemed messes, really on me, A number 10 shirt and crowned me, with the Tottenham boy shirt. And, I think I stayed there at school with number 10 and whatever,
Can you remember when you were at Tottenham boys and Middlesex boys, if there was anyone else who made the grade, who turned professional on those sides?
Tottenham boys. It was in my class actually. Billy Hinton.
Oh, okay.
He went to Arsenal, and we got in the England side together, the England schoolboys. So it was unusual, really, to be in the same class and play for England as well.
So what was it like? 1963, you became an apprentice at Tottenham. What was that like? Because you're a Tottenham fan. You've gone into the club as apprentice 1963. The team has just won, the first British team to win a European trophy. How close, as a kid, did you get to that iconic team that you used to watch on the terraces?
Very close, yeah. Because I think I can remember going up 1958 when I first started going up.
Right.
I would have been 10 or 11, you know?
Right.
And that was to reserve games. And I think the first game I see was a Wolves game. And got in at half time. Something like, I remember Billy Wright.
But he said 58 you started going. That was obviously that was the year that Bill Nick became the manager, ironically, wasn't it? It was the same.
That's right.
Same time. And then you obviously turned pro 2 years later in 1965. How did that come about? Who did you sit down with to say, Jimmy, you know, we want to take you on? That must have been an extraordinary day in your life.
You know, you're always wondering because, like, at the end of the season, they, you know, say you get yay or nay, you know, do you, you know, going to release you on whatever, you know.
And who was, so obviously it was presumably, you sat and signed, presumably with Bill Nick, or was it with someone else in the club at the time when you signed forms? How does it work?
They got in touch, obviously. I did have a few clubs. I had Fulham, West Ham and Chelsea, you know, that were interested. And the day we were going to Tottenham to see Bill Nick, Bill Hinton, who was, you know, the my class, he was training at West Ham, I think, sort of. But he called us over because we passed his house, sort of, back with us, walking down to the ground. And he called us over. He said, you see Ron Green, he said, whatever you do, don't sign for him, because he was coming around your house that night. You know, I've gone there with my dad. Well, is it my dad? I know he got. he had a day off work, and I think it was about £20 he got for it. You know?
Yeah, wow, incredible. That's and then when did you then, you turn pro 1965, obviously there's the reserve teams. At what stage, is this the stage you now start training with the first team? I mean, 65, the 64, obviously Blanche Flower had his injury. Jimmy White obviously died tragically. It was the kind of breakup. It was the breakup of that original double team. And I suppose in those early days, Bill Nick was trying to get a newer side together. What was it like? What were the sort of the players that you looked up to? Obviously, Greaves, presumably, was one that was the superstar.
Yeah, he's, I remember, yeah. He was my idol, really, with Dave McKay. You know, it was unbelievable, really, because, you know, being there with them. So that was fantastic, you know, because they were all my idols, really. You know, because they were such a good side at the time. It was just fantastic.
And with the reserve team, presumably when you were in the reserves initially, was it Eddie Bailey then running the reserve team? Was it Eddie that you had to work under?
Yeah, Eddie was sort of Bill's assistant. He was there to toughen me up, I think, you know, because I was very slight, you know, he's very vocal.
Yes, well, that's you know, it's a polite way of saying it. He effed and blinded everyone
right
through his very last days when I met him. He was an extraordinary character.
Yeah, so you ended up having a battle with him on the pitch, on a shouting down and this, that and the other. He did help me a lot because, you know, he got me to, you know, toughen up a bit and that. And Johnny Wallace, he done a lot.
Yeah.
He was, you know, in charge of the youth and the A-team sort of thing.
The big day that you know, I'm just presuming you'll never forget, August the 10th, 1968, opening game of the season against the Woolwich, against the Arsenal. Very unusual that we play them on the first game of the season at White Hart Lane. The team alongside you that day, Jennings, Beale, Knowles, Kinnear, England's Collins, Mullery, Venables, Robertson's, Chivers and Greaves. Try and describe, A, when you were told, Jimmy, you're starting, and just the feeling, the nerves, and running out for the first time in front of 50,000 people at the White Hart Lane pitch. What was it like?
Well, that was like a dream to be playing Arsenal, you know, because, you know, the rivalry. And it was not so much nerves, but, you know, it was a great feeling and nerves, I suppose, a little bit of nerves there, but it was fantastic. And I couldn't believe when he was lining up, you know, to think that I was there doing it, you know?
You know, at this stage, you know, you sort of said you were, a couple of years ago, you were a bit slight, you had to be toughened up. But at what stage did you think, yeah, this is it, I'm here, I'm going to stay here, I want to try and keep my place here, I'm clearly now good enough to play. You're now playing with your hero, Jimmy Greaves.
Yeah.
That must have been an incredible feeling to be alongside these players that you used to look up to from the terraces.
Well, yeah, every game, you know, you was there. And to me, it was unbelievable that. But the downside of that was losing to Arsenal.
That was it really.
But you know, to be playing, just you know, to look along and see it and notice. I used to go to queue up at 4 o'clock for games at Goal, the cup games, and all that, and everything you'd done.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then you sort of next couple of games, you sub, but then you played against Sheffield Wednesday. This is when a lot of listeners remember Martin Chivers got a really, really bad injury. Then he was out for the rest of the season. You then played 10 games in a row in that debut season. Probably the most memorable ones. I don't know if you remember, there was we beat Sunderland in that run 5-1. Greavesy scored 4. Leicester, we won 3-2. Greaves got a hat-trick. Then your first goal, St James's Park, 2-2 against Newcastle. Do you remember the first goal you scored?
I do remember that, yeah. I was up front, you know, I had a big set. I can't remember his name. One of these rough centre-halves, you know, by name, you know. It had come to me on the edge of the box, you know, got through and I just beat the goalkeeper. He came out and you know, whipped in, and I think that made it 2-2.
Do you remember the Sunderland in the 5-1 when Greaves scored 4? Do you remember that one at the Lane?
I should have remembered if he scored 4. I remember him, you know. You say he scored a hat-trick against Leicester?
Leicester. In that run of 10 games, your debut season, there was another game at home to Leicester.
Was that 3-2?
Correct, yeah.
Right, yeah, because that's my favourite picture, really. Because it was on the programme with Jimmy scoring against Peter Shilton, and I was screaming for the ball. I think he pulled the ball down from a Pat Jennings goal kick on the halfway line, and he must have gone by 3 or 4 players. He left them on the floor and whatever. And Shilton's come out, and you know, I'm up by the side of him. I was calling down. In a way, when I look back, thank God he didn't give it to me, because if I'd have missed after what he's done there, you know. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people say that goal that he scored that you just described was the best goal they ever saw him score. And there was no cameras there that day. There's the one against Man United, quite similar, when he gets the ball on the halfway line. But that was televised. But the Leicester goal you described was the goal that people to this day were there went, it was one of the greatest goals I've ever seen, and there's no camera there. I'm so glad you remember it.
It was fantastic, yeah. And got that picture, you know, I've got to get that frame sort of thing. I haven't got it. I've still got it on the program, you know. But it's such a, you know, fantastic, you know.
I mean, that's not bad. Your debut season, you played 24 games in the league that season. Quite really, really incredible. The second season, I think we kind of, the team struggled. That 69-70, the team struggled. We only finished mid-table. But again, you got 26 starts in the team. You got an early goal at Exeter in a 6-3 win in the League Cup. And then you scored at Turf Moor, 2-2 draw at Burnley. And then the following week, you got your first goal at White Hart Lane, 2-0. Do you remember who your first goal was against at the Lane?
I can't remember now.
It was Coventry City.
I think as a schoolboy, I scored against Coventry in the, you know, in the
Youth Cup.
And I didn't know whether I scored. I remember having a shot there, and because afterwards, I had another shot, must have been afterwards, and that was a screamer straight from the kickoff. I'm sure that didn't go in, but yeah, that's right. So I must have scored there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 2 in 2 weeks is not bad at Turf Moor. I mean, Burnley were, you know, a very, very strong team then, weren't they? What were some of the toughest away grounds to go to, in looking back? When you're like, oh, we got so-and-so next week, oh, God, we've got to go up there. Any stick out, any of those grounds?
Yeah. Leeds.
Right, yeah.
Liverpool. Oh, Chelsea was tough. That's always a tough one.
Leeds, we were always seen as the fancy Cockneys, weren't we? Probably that's why.
Yeah, that's
the soft,
right,
Southerners.
Yeah.
That season, Chivers came back. Steve Pearman made his debut. Martin Peters obviously came in. Terry Naylor. Obviously, Peters joined from West Ham and Jimmy Greaves left. What was that like for the players to see, and your hero, suddenly, you know, Martin Peters, World Cup star coming in, and all of a sudden you're off training, you hear the word, Jimmy's gone. What was that like for the players?
Well, it came from a bit out of the blue, I think. I don't know. But, you know, it was a bit hard to take in a way, you know. It's just really unusual, but, you know, but I see a podcast of Jimmy Greaves. He said at the time, he said he didn't have really no saying it, I think. Mm. Am I right?
That's correct.
And he was told he's going to West Ham. Martin Peters has come to Tottenham. Is that right?
Am I right? Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, that is, that really shook me.
Yeah, I mean, also that season you scored a really important goal in a 2-1 win at St James's Park as well that season. So, I mean, you know, the first two seasons, you know, your return, you're getting the goals and all that, and obviously a few new players coming in. You must have kind of thought now, those first two seasons, you know, playing pretty regularly, did you really think you'd cemented yourself in the side, or was there always that concern with Bill Nick, so hard to please, you know, you always kind of on edge a bit that you might get dropped 1 week?
Yeah, it was a lot of uncertainty with me, myself, you know, and with that. But, you know, in a way, kept you on edge to, you know, try and get in the side all the time, you know. It was a tough time, really, because I was, you know, I was really, to me, in my mind, I was known as a sub, you know. It's probably harder now because there's so many subs, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, but then in those days, there was one sub. So if you weren't that one sub, you know, and you weren't playing, that was it. You're back in the reserves. You know, that's sort of what's obviously changed so much, you know? Well, let's go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the 1970-71 season, our first trophy when you were there. Back in a couple of minutes. And we're back for the break. Don't forget this season for premium Spurs Show content, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show. We've also started the Spurs Show season tickets again. You can come to one of our monthly events in central London. Go to season.spursshow.net, sign up and get a season ticket to come to all our monthly events. Right, Jimmy, the 70-71 team, really, really, I think, this was like the second great... Well, it's probably the third, if you look at the 67. Maybe this was the third great Bill Nick team. 23 games you played again that season. The first one that people remember was you scored at... You mentioned Stamford Bridge before. Do you remember scoring at Stamford Bridge? We beat them 2-0 that season?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I remember that. I think Alan Mullery got the other goal. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. And then, obviously, the League Cup run... You were key, absolutely key in that League Cup run. You scored one early in the third round at home against Sheffield United. And then the semi-final, Bristol City, really important goal. Jenkins, I think, headed the ball across the goal mouth. You were there to score. You must remember that one. That must have been one of the biggest games, biggest goals of your career, League Cup semi-final.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that, yeah. But was it in extra time?
I think it was two legs. I think it was... It might have been, I can't remember. Yeah. It might have been extra time.
I don't know, it seemed like extra time. Yeah. Anyway, that was, I remember that, yeah.
It must have been very disappointing then when you weren't selected to start in the final. How difficult was that to take?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's, when you're left out, it's, you know, but I was sub, you know, but, you know, I didn't go on in there. The final, but the main thing is the result, and you know, it was a good result.
Did you get a medal? Did you get a cup winner's medal for that as well?
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, a cup. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. The next season, 71-72, you used less. I don't know if there was an injury to you in that season, but you only started 9 in the league. In saying that, there was again some really important goals. There was a goal you scored, which you can still see on YouTube. A 2-2 draw at the baseball ground derby, which was the cameras were there, and also the cameras were there when you came on a sub as we beat Nottingham Forest 6-1. You scored 2. those of you out there, go to YouTube. You can still see those goals. Do you remember any of those games at all?
Yeah, I've seen the Derby one. I think it was close in for that, yeah. And the two on YouTube, yeah, because there was a volley.
It was a mild
volley, wasn't it, I think?
It was a Vegas shot. Very powerful shot, you know.
I do remember them, yeah.
And then also this season, you had your first flavour of European football in the UEFA Cup qualifying, or the UEFA Cup rounds. Everyone's so used to travelling now, and players now can watch, you know, Italian football on one channel, French football, German football. What was it like then for professional football when you're going overseas? You've never seen these clubs before. How difficult was it then to adapt to some of these games?
I don't think I played in a lot of games. No, I got sent off in one.
Yeah, well, we're going to come to that.
It's a bit hard to say, really, but you know, you're keyed up again and you play a certain way. And
you came on against Keflavik, which I think we won quite easily, Nantes, the French team. And then you mentioned there a awful, dirty game. I think Bill Nick said one of the dirtiest games he's ever seen. Rapid Bucharest, you scored a crucial goal when you came on when Gilly went off. And then you're on the pitch for 12 minutes and you were sent off. You threw a punch, missed and scratched your head, hoping the ref didn't see the punch. Is that correct?
Well, no, I don't think so. What happened? Gilly was taking so much stick in the game. I think it was bad and everything, you know. It was awful all the way through the game. So what happened? When he came off, I done a foul on the fullback, right? But he was marking me. But it wasn't it was just a
routine foul. Yeah.
He went down, right? Then the goalkeeper's come rushing towards me. Mm. Right. So the first thing I did was put my hands up.
Right.
You know, to protect me. I didn't throw a punch, but you know, he was so big, the goalkeeper. You know, and I think he's classed it. Some of our players classed it handbags at home, whatever, you know, all that. But it was a natural thing to do, put my hands up and, you know, and that was it. I got sent off, you know.
What did Bill Nick and Eddie, what did Bill Nick and Eddie Bailey say to you after the game?
Come on, that was within 12 minutes, that was, you know, going on, scoring a goal, then that sent off, you know. And I remember my dad saying to me, you know, when he was coming over on the train, he said, I see the back of the evening news or whatever, and it said Hero Pierce sent off or something like that. Yeah. Well, he was so proud. That was that.
This was also the season that Bill Nick, I don't think he quite realised what to expect, but this was the season that Bill Nick let Hunter Davis in, the writer, writing, you know, what many people to this day say is still one of the greatest books on a football team. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't get that kind of access now, but he wrote The Glory Game. What a lot of players we've spoken to, Martin Chivers and many others, they said they weren't happy having him around. So I know he was kind of the same age as the players. He took part in some training sessions. What was your memory of him being around and then reading the book? What did you think about it?
Well, it's a bit surprised, really, because you know, speaking as you find, you know, and it was sort of put down, you know, and you think, blimey, did I say that or whatever? And reading the book, no, I wasn't too happy, but I wasn't in it a lot.
Mm. I think it was a bit when he reported you talking in the canteen. You weren't happy again. How Eddie Bailey had been coating you and Dean with you. And this obviously was the time that Ralph Coates came in, who was a very big signing from Burnley, who obviously played in your position. So obviously, I think the book says you're obviously quite fearful, as you would be, for your place in the team then, you know. The following season, again, you know, I think a very good return, about 27 games you played in the league. Again, in Europe, you played against Lyn Oslo, scored against Olympiacos. In the league that season, there was a couple of stand-up games. There was the famous game, Old Trafford, you played in. We won 4-1 and Martin Peters scored four. Do you remember that one at Old Trafford?
Yeah, I do. Definitely, yeah. Martin Chivers was injured, wasn't he, I think?
Yeah.
And Peters was centre forward. They was sort of lowering the, you know, going through a transition, weren't they, Manchester United, I think. Lowering the league. But it was, you know, we was 4-0 up at one stage. And I always remember I missed a goal on the goal line, their goal line.
Right.
And all I had to do was get to it, and I slipped.
You then scored 3 goals in successive games again, Everton, Norwich and Stoke. The Stoke goal actually turned out to be, in hindsight, your last game for Tottenham. There was also, I think you're on the bench, there was the extraordinary match we played Margate away in the FA Cup. I think we won 6-0. What was that like? All of a sudden going down to the seaside to play Margate. That must have been a strange match. And then obviously the replay in the next round, which I think you were sub, but you're part of that team, that extraordinary match when we lost to Derby County 5-3 after being 3-1 up.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, a lot of players from that team say that was probably the lowest point playing in that side. Do you remember that one? I think it was Roger Davis got a hat trick.
That's right. Roger Davis. Yeah. He was brilliant that day, wasn't he? And I was itching to get on there and, you know, to have a go, but it was not to be. I remember that.
Yeah, we then had in the league, you scored at Middlesbrough. I think it was a winner against Boa that season. It was great wins against Liverpool and Wolves as well. And this was in the league. This was in the League Cup. And then finally, you get your chance that season to start that game against Norwich City. Try and describe a game after missing out in the last two finals, the UEFA Cup and the League Cup, finally getting the nod. How did that feel?
Well, that was fantastic. You know, that was, I suppose, really, you know, my career. Although it wasn't a great game, and they played well, Norwich, you know. But it was a good result, and that was it, I suppose, you know.
It's probably a good time to ask about Bill Nicholson now. Obviously, your manager throughout your time at Tottenham. What was he like as a man? How did you find him?
He's a disciplinarian, as you know, and I mean, coming from school and from the start, but it was, I suppose, hard to get round. You'd never, you know, there's some players who want an arm round, but around them, you know, but never got that from him, really, you know, and I found it, you know, a bit hard in that way, but perhaps it toughens you up a bit, I don't know, but he was you can't fall.
You said he was hard, and again, we've had Martin Chivers on the show, who he had a tough old time, especially with Eddie Bailey, and Bill as well. He never thought Bill praised him or whatever. And it was only later on in life they became very, very good friends.
Yeah.
Was there anyone who in that team would you say you were really friendly with off the pitch? Was there some other players the same kind of age, maybe, that you sort of saw and socialised with?
Not constantly, I mean, once or twice probably, you know, we'd have a drink afterwards and all that. But I suppose Peter Collins sort of close at the end because we was both injured, you know, and we socialised a couple of times. But because you live in far and you've got your families, it's, you know, spread out and whatever, and it's, you know, it's a bit difficult in a way. You know, you've got your friends from apprenticeship and all that, they've gone and what, going through and players leaving. So it's, you know, it's a bit hard really to say, oh, but some people do, and, you know, but you go on with your life and whatever, you know.
Yeah. I mean, to be so, you know, young, you know, even in football terms, and I reread the Glory Game book, which we mentioned earlier in the interview.
Yeah.
And it's really quite sort of interesting that at the back of the book, there's like a sort of players did a questionnaire. And one of the questions that Hunter asked you when you were playing was, you know, what's more important, skill and luck? You said luck, you know, I could get injured tomorrow. There's so much luck in this game. I mean, how ironic that you're absolutely right. You got the injury that finished your football career. How many years do you ever get over something like that? I know you obviously went in and you went into the clothing business and you start a new life professionally, but do you ever get over something like that when football was just your life from such a young age?
Well, I don't think so. After that, as I say, I was working in the clothing game and never a thought of playing again because, that was it. Mm. I couldn't run really and it had come up or whatever if I jogged or whatever. And my ex-brother-in-law, he played for Walthamstow and he kept saying to me, come down there, you can play and you just have to be there in a way, And I was doing a full-time job and that was at Walthamstow and I played about four or five games and I got an injury in the last game there and that was it. I couldn't go because, if I got a full-time job, that was my living,
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't really, deep down, if I wasn't pushed or anything, I wouldn't have done it,
Ironically, you look at that team you played under, that kind of side kind of broke up the very following season after the UEFA Cup lost the final. Bielnik retired. Terry Neill came in and got rid of a lot of the old guard. Peters went, Chivers eventually went, Kinnear went. So maybe, who knows, you could have been one of those players, pros, that could have been moved out for younger players, aren't it? But you probably would have gone down to, West Ham, a QPR or one of the lower leagues and still earned a living from doing it. Did you think that's probably what I mean? Obviously, I'm just guessing here. And with that, do you to this day do you still do events and golf days? Do you still see some of the old players? Have you kept in touch with them?
I did. Funny enough, I did one about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, right.
Because my daughter, she put me on one of the Spurs. A letter through, for autographs and pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd done that and got all these pictures and there was a few there that I, hadn't seen. So
wow.
I got a picture made up. From there, I think it was a young boy, Lennon. He got in touch with me and I'd done an interview. And just because of COVID and everything, you needed something in your life to get going. And I'd done a couple of others, and that was it. Then this came up. Then I went to a golf, I think I got invited to the golf at Essendon. And I used to play golf, pitching putt years ago.
Who of your teammates were there?
Pat Jennings, Martin Chivers, John Pratt. Oh, Ozzy Ardiles was there, yeah, and a really good day. I felt so guilty. I lost 8 balls. I had all my son-in-law's golf gear, yeah. And I looked the part. I lost all this and good enjoyable day.
You mentioned some of your family members there. What they must be very, very proud that you wore with distinction the lily white shirt. Does that sort of make you proud that they still get such pleasure from the career that you had?
I think, I'm sure they do. But, I never pushed it on them because 2 girls I had, only 1 grandson who was interested in football, but, perhaps later on he will. The other thing is my great-granddaughter, she's 9, she's taking an interest in football at school.
Quite right.
So
You must encourage her. Keep encouraging her.
Yeah, I've just been talking to her about the European championships and all that, and she's fantastic, the way she was talking, Unbelievable.
And did you keep any, obviously, I hope you kept your medals. Did you keep any memorabilia from your time at Tottenham? Did you sort of keep to sort of go, I can pass this on to my grandchildren at some stage?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
got that. Hopefully, it's the. I can't get hold of it at the moment. But anyway, that yeah, that's lovely. Yeah.
And kind of looking back, you know, when you look back at your time at the club, what does it still mean to you? I know it was a long time ago, but you played in such an iconic era of football, a team that won trophies, and you gave so many of us so much pleasure on the pitch. You know, you know everyone loved watching you play. You're a local boy as well, which is really important, I think, for a team like Tottenham. Looking back, what's it mean to you to play for Tottenham Hotspur?
Well, it was everything to me.
It's all right. I'm sure it's very, very emotional.
I do. I'm up talking about it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. No. I mean, you know, of course, you know, the fact that you were there from a schoolboy and to walk through, you know, White Hart Lane, and as you said, see, when you watch them on the terraces, to see the double team, to walk in, to join when they just won the European Cup, Winners' Cup, to play with your heroes like Greaves. You're getting me going now, Jimmy, as well. You know.
Yeah.
Must have been incredible. Must have been absolutely
incredible. It was fantastic. Absolutely brilliant, yeah. And I've got to tell you this, because one of the times, what was it, when we played Arsenal and they were after to win the league, I think. You remember the
midweek 71. Game? Yeah,
was it Ray 71?
Kennedy. Ray Kennedy, yeah.
Right, that's it. I live 20 minutes walk from there, right? Me car, my friend over the road, and I'm driving him down to the ground to match. Don't know if I'm playing or not. We got halfway down the road, well, to the bottom of the high road, you know, once we come down, can't get out. So you'll have to take your car home. So he took the car home, and he's missed the game. And I've gone to the ground, and I've had to climb over the gates at the ground to get in. And I was subbed that night. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I come on. As soon as I come on, Ray Kennedy scored. It was a corner. Ray Kennedy scored from the corner, didn't he, I think. Worst feeling, I think, in the dressing room after. It was most awful. You know, when we lost 1-0, you know. It was unbelievable. But say, my friend was an Arsenal supporter and he's missed it.
Yeah. So. Small comforts, yeah. I suppose. I mean, ironically, that season, because obviously Arsenal beat Leeds by a point, we went to Elland Road that season and beat them. Chiv scored 2 goals.
Oh, dear.
So kind of, if we even just got a draw, I think you could argue we gave Arsenal the championship that season, that win at Elland Road, really. But, you know. But look, Jimmy, thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate you giving up your time and speaking to Spurs fans. And I know I speak on behalf of everyone who listens to the show around the world that saw you play, the pleasure you gave people and the fact that clearly wearing the lily white shirt meant so much to you. And we really on behalf of everyone, I thank you for the pleasure and the great memories you gave thousands and thousands of fans. You know, I can't put into words what it means, the pleasure you gave, and you always gave 100% on that pitch as well, and clearly you're Tottenham through and through. And I thank you so much for your time, Jimmy.
Thanks very much, Mike. Cheers.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at spursshow.net.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.